But today is VE Day. The war is
over. The newly crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.
Hi everyone and welcome to The Wealth Show. I'm Zach, a senior reporter at Citywire Wealth Manager. I'm joined today by fellow reporter Natalia Vaznier, and today we are talking about sustainable fund profiles. We're joined by Chris Welford, Managing Director of Ayres Punchard and member of Antithesis Research. Chris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Zach.
Hi. Could you please, first question, we'll just go and get straight into it. Could you please explain some of the research you're doing with Antithesis Research? And, you know, why it's so, what you're finding behind sustainable funds and why it's so important.
Okay, the whole story. So Antithesis is a spin-off from the research project that we were running in-house at Ayres Punchard as part of our Key to the Future portfolio research. It basically looks at the underlying companies in the portfolio. There's about 860-odd companies in there, so a lot. We run a triage service, and we realised that that basically we had either the option to keep it within Ayres Punchard or to take it out outside the company so that we could offer it to other people, because we think that the research is interesting. We've used the reports with other people, and we certainly think there's a market for it. So the reason why we do it is because we think that fund managers are very good at explaining all the positive aspects of impact, and they're not very good at explaining any of the negative impacts of the companies that they're invested in. So as a result of that, we decided that we needed to be more sure about just how sustainable these funds really are. And so we originally, what the project was doing was it was taking the whole of the fund manager's portfolio of anything between 30 and 150 companies, triaging them to see which of those companies could be problematic, and then narrowing the field down to normally about 14 companies. That's roughly speaking where we got to with almost any size of portfolio, because we would look at the capital value of the holding in terms of it being how impactful was it on return, you know, how material was the would any transgressions be, and we needed a yardstick to measure potential transgressions. And it took us a little bit of time to work out how to do that. We're going back a long way here, 10 years or so, but effectively we ended up, and we now use the UN Global Compact as the measure by which we can see whether a company is basically acting in a decent way that we feel our clients would find acceptable. So we look at human rights, labour rights, environment and anti-corruption measures. There's 10 principles, and we attempt to judge the company's behaviour based on those 10 principles. We also look at the SDGs, so the 17 SDGs, but we're looking at them from a different perspective, because the SDGs are always about attribution, aren't they? You know, how much of the revenues are attributed to SDGs. And we're looking at how the company might undermine the SDGs. And then we're looking at what the fund manager has said about the company or what the company said about itself, and trying to work out whether there's a conflict.
So how many firms are you working with?
Oh, we've got 20 firms in the portfolio.
And there's any number of sort of portfolios?
Yeah, it's some bond portfolios. There are thematic portfolios. There's generalist portfolios. There's value. There's growth. So the whole gambit.
And from the research that you've been doing so far on those firms, what has been kind of the main outcomes and findings that you've made?
When we found in the past where we've had issues which we felt weren't being addressed correctly, in our view, then we did come to you guys and to others to try and publicise them. And the embarrassment level was quite high. But also the response, it got the desired response. One thing that we do find when we engage with fund managers is they will never, well, it's extremely rare for them to say, oh yes, we responded to what you said and we've divested, or we've engaged on these particular points. It's not impossible. I've been reading back through the notes on the engagement for the report that I gave you, and over a period of up to last year, we had a flow of information from the fund manager, and there was one or two companies that they did engage on, but there were also some companies which we thought were incredible holdings that we just couldn't believe were in a sustainable portfolio.
And what kind of holdings are we talking about here?
Well, one in principle, Centene, which is a US healthcare insurance company.
Right.
So you'd say a healthcare provider, I suppose, of sorts. One of the big ones, along with United Healthcare, but Centene, we did an enormous amount of work on that. And we've found it in a number of sustainable portfolios. And when we've given the report to the fund managers concerned, either the response itself was quite dismissive, trying to explain or to justify the unjustifiable, or in some cases, no response at all.
But those unjustifiable measures, are you typically, again, I want to sort of try and trim down my questions because I'm aware that you work with so many companies, so there'll be such a variety of sustainable issues, right? Mm. But in terms of what those transgressions sort of are they normally to do with the environment? Are they normally to do with a social aspect?
There's no normal. Take the 10 principles of the Global Compact, okay. And the 17 SDGs, and you'll find something of all of them.
Right, okay, fair enough.
The problem, I suppose, the difficulty, and for anybody listening to this, what they're thinking probably, where they're not so involved in the work as we are, they're probably thinking, well, you're just nitpicking and kind of pushing a finger into a wound and trying to make it worse. And that's not really what we are trying to do. We're trying to help the fund managers to see something that they can't see themselves. There are cultural issues here because fund management is very much in a, I would describe it a little bit of an ivory tower compared to where everybody else is. Everybody else, by everybody else, I mean our clients. And that, I think, is quite universal. There are huge differences. And a huge difference is the way that they think compared to the way other people think. And I also, from the responses that we've had, we can see that they don't actually understand what the United Nations is talking about with regard to things like human rights, for instance. That's a very good example. So if you come back to Centene, the human rights transgressions were numerous. We had descriptions coming back from fund managers saying, oh, this is heartbreaking, this is so, very sad, but it isn't material because these are isolated cases.
And kind of like following up on that, you were saying that the research that you've been doing shows that there's a few companies that have really negative impacts. But don't fund managers also have that kind of research, mainly when it's sustainable investors or impact investors? Mm. And how do you feel like they choose the companies that are in goes into their funds? Because they obviously have to be looking at SDG goals and kind of the impact that they have on the kind of wider industry. But how do you feel like they've slipped and not seen the findings that you've kind of found?
Yeah, I think it's probably quite an easy answer, but it's not a very palatable one. And that's they believe what the companies tell them.
Right.
So we do look at the company website, but we are pretty dismissive of what they say because we know there is another side to the story.
And it's interesting because you said before as well about, you look at fund managers' messaging as well. It's not just about the performance and the sustainability of the fund itself, but you look at what the fund managers are saying about that. Do you often find there's discrepancies between what they're saying about it and what is actually the case?
Yeah, because it's always very positive. Right. You're going to make a presentation about a company that you chose to put in your portfolio. You're not going to tell anybody that there's something wrong. That does come out of the engagement process, And I don't want to make it sound like we hate fund managers, because we work with fund managers, and I've been in the industry for 30 years, and I'm very experienced, and I understand exactly what I'm doing when I'm constructing a portfolio. But I also understand that there are alternatives to some of the companies that are being used, which is the argument that all of them made when they divested from fossil fuels. There are alternatives. And for sure, there are alternatives to companies that are committing egregious, sort of awful human rights atrocities. And they are. And it's difficult for people to believe it. And so that's why we evidence everything very thoroughly.
And do you feel like there's, I mean, greenwashing is a very common term nowadays, but do you feel there's a lot of greenwashing when it comes to like companies within sustainable funds?
Well, the simple answer is yes. But the more complex and fair answer is that depends on what they're trying to achieve and what you class as an unacceptable level of transgression. These things are debatable. So you're not talking about something that is applicable across the board always. You know, sometimes there are different ways of looking at things, certain things which could be ignored, I guess, would be the best way of putting it, simply because you feel as a fund manager that you can produce a justification based on other things that the company's doing. But we look at that and we say, well, fair enough, that's okay. There's a balancing act here. But what if you discover something that is so appalling that it kind of, in our view, overshadows everything else? Now, I'm talking as a portfolio manager here of a sustainable model portfolio, which is what I am as well. But from the researcher's point of view, from the antithesis research point of view, we're just producing the evidence and tabulating it, which you've seen, the SDG and the Global Compact attributions, if you like, negative attributions. It's very clear then. They can look at that and they can look at the evidence we've produced and they can say, well, okay, this particular SDG looks as if it's being undermined, and they do look as if they've committed some, I don't know, corruption that's been proven in court. That's pretty clear. That's a breach. But on the other hand, we think that we've got these SDGs which are being promoted. But it's a very, very difficult balancing act, because I'll give you a very good example. Recently, Santander has gone into a public-private partnership with the National Parks in the UK, and that's in order for them to obtain the carbon credits that are available from ownership of land or stewardship of land, of that particular sort of land. But on the other hand, they've got a massive fossil fuel portfolio, which they're using those carbon credits in order to offset. And for anybody in my world, that's not right. That doesn't work.
And I suppose it's trying to get, you know, when we're trying to prevent greenwashing, and, you know, we'll get onto maybe the FCA's SDR labels in a bit, but we're trying to, you know, prevent this sort of tick boxing exercise and firms looking for any way they can, as perhaps you're alluding to there in that example. So I guess that's the work you're doing as well. And, you know, I wanted to ask a question sort of from the client's perspective, the often forgotten client. You know, ESG means different things to different clients and they prioritize different things. But I wanted to ask how much awareness there is of these issues on the client side, because obviously it sounds like there's a dialogue between, you know, yourself and the fund managers. It sounds like there can be, as you said, it's a difficult balancing act sometimes. But when you discover something pretty egregious, do you have any idea, you know, how much wider awareness there is of that issue?
Well, we know it because only from the fact that a lot of the information we get is from activist groups.
Sure, but does that information necessarily pass down to the client?
Yeah, so basically, a lot of clients who are invested in these portfolios are interested. They read the papers. They have the media that helps to inform them. Awful lot of clients are listening to alternative media now. Non-mainstream news, good, because that's clearly been a big problem. I think I think the thing is that the clients themselves really value the work because they can see that it isn't as straightforward as just buying a ESG badge fund. And I think the other thing to say too, you asked me, they have ESG preferences. Well, to be fair, most clients don't understand what ESG is all about because it's, from our point of view, we're very clear on ESG. Will Robbins will laugh, but I've been banging on about this for years, and if they'd listened, I think we wouldn't be in the mess we're in, because actually ESG is just an analytical tool. It doesn't really mean very much, but the mainstream industry has grabbed hold of it in order to promote what have turned out to be greenwashing funds, and created a huge bubble in the sustainable space, which has been to everybody's disadvantage. And we only have to look at the performance of virtually every single sustainable portfolio out there, and you can see what happened in 2022 was a disaster, and that was created by the industry as much as it was by the Ukraine invasion and so on. So,
and like, yep. Just to what extent do you think that sustainable funds within the whole wider industry are greenwashing? Like, what is the extent of it?
Well, I think it's pretty widespread. And the reason I say that is because I think there's a fundamental disjunct between what fund managers think is acceptable in a company and what clients, if they knew what was going on, think is acceptable in a company. So when we take these examples back to our clients, which we do because we want to use this, you know, this is it's very valuable for us. They're appalled. You know, they've read the reports. They're not happy. They don't think it's great.
And with this, you know, with your dialogue with fund managers, you know, do you have examples? I mean, I'm sure you do because you work with so many of some fund managers being quite constructive, being quite, you know, proactive about this as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't dismiss that. And as I said at the very beginning, I think, you know, the fund managers we engage with, they're some of the best. But that is disturbing because they are some of the best. So we would expect them to be really, really good at this. And you know, I'll name one here. I'm very careful not to name too many fund managers, but we've just started working with CCLA. Now, it's early days, but everything we've seen would suggest a very constructive approach, and that's fair enough. I mean, I'd also mention Webb from the sustainability point of view. It is very constructive, but there's always going to be companies where we totally disagree. And I think what we found was there's a certain, and this isn't attributed to any particular company, but it is, there is a certain arrogance, or maybe we should call it anchoring is a fairer way of putting it, of a decision that was made. There's an investment thesis that's been passed around the team and is part of the way that they're working. And suddenly these guys come in and they undermine that, and it becomes very, very difficult for them to backtrack away from the thesis, to be able to look more objectively at it and say, actually, new information's come to light. We really do need to look at this. What's the reputational risk for us as a fund manager? And that, I think, should be their focus.
And maybe following up on that, how do you think fund managers can do better then?
I think they need to listen more. I think they should be listening a lot more to what is happening in the activist world, because I think that's often ignored.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, improving the sustainable outlook as a whole, obviously regulation has a huge role to play. I wanted to ask how far you feel SDR labels go in terms of fixing this issue. I mean, obviously we've heard so much about firms sort of struggling to get labels and all of that sort of headache going on. But in terms of the labels themselves, do you think they go far enough?
I think it's a very difficult thing to achieve. So I kind of welcome it in a way. But I think the problem is the label is the same as the title of the fund. That was a problem. Back in 2014, I spoke about it to a big audience of fund managers at one of your rivals' investment awards, the Sustainable Investment Awards. And I basically said, look, you've labelled all your funds ethical or responsible. In those days, that's what they labelled them, ethical or responsible. And do you know what? They're not. And I gave them loads of examples. And they hated it. hated it. I mean, it was, I didn't get any applause. I was a keynote speaker at this convention, and no applause. So it was, you know, it's quite clear that they're not that keen to know, but it's better than it was, much better than it was. But the point being about labelling is that if it only goes as far as the label, and that nobody's really doing the detailed work to substantiate the claims that are being made, which is very difficult and long and intensive work, which is what we're doing, but that is not going to happen across hundreds, thousands of underlying holdings, because you would need teams of hundreds of people.
And this problem that you've been describing throughout the podcast, do you feel like in the long term the industry is willing and ready to tackle it and be kind of more transparent about the holdings that they have within their firms, and therefore actually more in line with what their clients are wanting?
That's a difficult question, because the objectives are possibly misaligned with, or that the fund objectives are sometimes misaligned with the client objectives. And I think possibly if you took that all the way down the road, then you're probably talking about bespoke portfolios being built for specific clients. So that's ethical investing. But if you're talking about a general sort of sustainability view that does more good than harm, then I think the fund managers themselves should dedicate an awful lot more resource from their margin to the task of doing deep dive research, and then they will know, because 9 times out of 10 we take the research to them and they don't know.
And sort of coming a little bit back to Natalia's question about where this is going in the future of sustainable investing, and you know, you're talking about you know, we should be transparent anyway. Do you see that transparency happening in the future? Because you know, I'm hearing a lot of as I speak to you now, I'm hearing a lot of fund managers in my head sort of saying, you know, ESG sustainability has its place, but it was a boom a few years ago. We're past that now. You know, yeah. The future isn't that green, etc., etc., etc. Where do you see this going?
Okay, well, those fund managers are stupid. Okay, because the future of sustainability is the future of humanity and the future of the planet. That's just a dumb response. And we can prove as well that we've got better returns from our equity model portfolios, the ones that don't have bonds in them, the ones that aren't so interest rate sensitive, have actually outperformed conventional benchmarks. So we know that the sustainability argument is a good one, the strategy is a good one, because it's future facing, it's about ideas, it's about the themes that are going to be required. We have to get our heads around, as sustainable investors, this is talking as a portfolio manager myself, that the transition isn't just about looking for low carbon companies. Okay, I know that people talk about this a lot, but finding good mining companies that aren't massive human rights transgressors. But the idea that we simply go back to the old conventional ways of doing everything is a bit bonkers.
And maybe like bringing it down to the companies who are actually transgressing, don't you think they also have like a responsibility to be more ethical and be more sustainable, mainly if they are within those portfolios?
The point is that fund managers are the ones who've got the responsibility to put the right companies in their portfolio. And there are alternatives to any of these horrible companies. It isn't difficult, because if you do the research, you'll find them. I'm not sure whether we said it, but you know, of these big portfolios, so we took one, the example I gave you was of a fund with 50 holdings, of which 21 were seen to be problematic and 14 were very problematic. And of those 14, we found 4 that we were extremely worried about, and the fund manager dismissed 2 or 3 of those, agreed on 1. I think we got a divestment on 1.
You've been listening to The Wealth Show with myself and Natalia Fasnier. We were joined by Chris Welsford, Managing Director of Ayers Punchard and member of Antithesis Research. For any questions, please feel free to email us at wmnews@citywire.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
But today is VE Day. The war is
the
over.
The crown queen waves from the Belt.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Bailey Gifford. Capital at risk.